Welcome to the latest episode of Your Wealth with Gemma Dell, a podcast series designed to help you create, grow, and protect your wealth.
Welcome, my name is Vishal Tekshanani. I'm NabTrade's Customer Insights Manager, and today I'm interviewing your usual podcast host, Gemma Dale, about the budget. Gemma, it's dark, it's late, and it's a perfect time to bring you details about the budget. And can I just say, I'm really excited because this year we've also found budget for new mics. So hopefully our audience appreciates the higher sound quality. So Gemma, let's kick off with this budget. Firstly, what's so unique about it?
So we've talked about this a little bit. The most unique part about this, and there's always something interesting about a budget, but this one is released just before a federal election. So voters should be very well aware, and I'm sure you'll pick it up anyway, that the proposals contained in this budget need to be passed into law before they become effective. That's true of every budget. But in this particular year, they have two sitting days of Parliament between the announcement of the budget and the calling the federal election, so Parliament is dissolved, there is no one around to pass any legislation. There is a lot of stuff that is getting proposed that may not impact you in any material way. So I will try to be really clear about what is likely to pass, or at least has a shot at it, and what is really more of an election proposal. Let's call it an election proposal. And that is clearly what we're seeing from this budget tonight. A lot of proposals from the government designed to attract voters' attention very shortly before an election's called.
Right. Such a great point, Gemma. Lots of legislation, but will it be passed? So such a key point for investors to take on board. So let's run through some of the proposals announced in the budget. What about tax proposals?
Okay, so clearly the centrepiece of this year's budget, and we did know this, there were plenty of leaks suggesting this is going to be the case, a series of tax measures targeting individuals and eligible small and medium-sized businesses. So there are large groups who are not materially impacted by this budget, but individuals most definitely are if they are in certain tax brackets. It is long and it is complicated trying to explain these, so I will do my best to do it slowly enough and clearly enough that people can pick it up. It's tough unraveling these ones. They are designed intentionally to target specific groups. So it might sound scrambly, but it was intended to target specific groups and not provide broad brush tax cuts that everybody benefited from in some circumstances. So the critical thing is that the low and middle income tax offset is going to increase. It was proposed and legislated last year to a maximum $530. Yep. That is going to increase to $1,080 per annum. And the base rate of the offset is also going to be increased. If it's legislated, it's going to be effective from the current financial year. The amount of offset you get will depend on your income. And it is important to note that it is paid as a lump sum after you submit your tax return. So when I said it's targeted quite carefully, that's one of the ways they have made sure that targeting is effective. So rather than paying it throughout the year and then you go and submit your tax return, they have to claw it back if you were not, if your tax came in somewhat differently to the way it was anticipated. They're not doing a pay-as-you-go basis for this. You put in your tax return, they work out what your taxable income is, and then you receive effectively a refund or an offset based on what your actual taxable income was for the year. The impact, therefore, is felt after the 1st of July this year. So even though it's for the current financial year, you've got to put in your tax return before you get it. Okay. Bit of an incentive for people to get tax returns in really quickly. it should be noted on this one as well that the opposition have previously indicated they will support tax measures aimed at mid and lower income Australians. So the government might be able to get this one through. There's only a couple of days, as I said, in which they would be able to do it. So let's assume that the legislation is drafted and they can rush it through. You will find out soon enough, right? If they get this one through, they're going to be letting you know. And it will probably go through with bipartisan support if it does go through.
Okay.
So the proposed tax changes, let's try to work them through for people. After the 1st of July, but applying for the current financial year, you've got this $530 currently, which will increase to $1,080 for singles. For a dual income family, that's $2,160. It is available for 4 years. So for the current financial year, 2018-19, 2019-20, that's next year, 2021 and 21-22 income years. And you only get it after the end of the financial year. It's the tax refund. A lot of news outlets talk about it as a per week benefit. You know, this is the equivalent of $10 a week or $20 a week, but that's not how it's received. So it is received as a lump sum, even though they might talk about it as a per week benefit. If you are earning up to $37,000, or that's your taxable income, your tax will reduce by up to $255. So up to, critical words, this will increase incrementally if you're earning between $37,000 and $48,000. When I say earning, I mean taxable income of. So taxable income is your assessable income minus your allowable deductions. Yep. Yeah. The maximum offset, this $1,080, that is the headline, the very important headline of $1,080, applies to people with taxable incomes of between $48,000 and $90,000.
Okay.
Right? That is sort of the sweet spot of the Australian taxpayer and probably the sweet spot of the Australian voter. The hardworking Australians who are referred to. So if you are listening to this and you want to remember the critical numbers, $48,000 to $90,000, if you're in that bracket.
That's your sweet spot.
That's okay. Your sweet spot, right? So that's where you get the $1,080. The offset then gradually reduces to zero, and zero applies above $126,000. So for the next 4 years, if you are earning over $126,000,
there will be no tax relief.
Yeah, no tax cut for you. 1 July 2022, there will be a preservation of this tax relief that's been provided through the offset. So the offset has been a way of ensuring, usually when they increase thresholds, everybody benefits. So if you're a high income earner, you still benefit from an increase in the 19 cent tax bracket, right? So they are going to increase the brackets from 2022. That will be an increasing the top threshold of the 19 cent tax bracket from $41,000 to $45,000. It will increase the low income tax offset, not the middle and low income tax offset, but the low income tax offset from $645 to $700, right? So $55 difference, that's not material. Most people, much as they like a tax cut, $55 probably in 1 year isn't going to change your life. But it builds on the changes in last year's budget. So that was when the $37,000 threshold was increased to $41,000. That's then going to go up to $45,000.
Got it.
And the low income tax offset was increased from $445 to $645. Now it's going to go up to $700. So it's sort of building on last year's changes, but it is from 2022. So bear in mind, we have an election almost now.
Yep.
22 is after a subsequent election, probably. So the expression don't count your chickens probably applies in this scenario. It also builds on the increase in the top threshold of the 32.5 cent tax bracket from 90,000 to 120. Now, that was a big change. That's a pretty material increase in threshold from 90 to 120. That's a big threshold change. That's already been passed, right? So that one's already in effect. From the 1st of July 2024, so we're now going out multiple elections again, 32.5% tax bracket will be reduced to 30%. And the top threshold of the middle tax bracket will be increased from that 120 I just mentioned to 200. So that's a huge increase. Huge. And the 37% tax bracket has already been abolished. So you've got this series of changes that occur from 2022 onwards that are much more targeted to the top end. Okay. So the next 4 years, very much about middle Australia, very much about the average earner. And then once you get out 4 or 5 years, it's very much about higher income earners who will be benefiting from that. Assuming it is all passed, which I think at this point we could say is a big assumption. If it is all passed and it all remains in effect, so, you know, one of the critical things in this budget is it does assume no recession.
Yep.
And we've had 25 plus years of economic expansion and no technical recession during that period. So that is also a fairly big assumption. So things do change on that front. But if everything stays as planned and everything goes through as planned, then there will only be three tax rates from 2024, 19%, 30%, and 45%. And the 45% will apply for those earning over 200,000 rather than 180,000. Current rate. So Australians earning between $45,000 and $200,000 will face a marginal tax rate of 30%.
Okay. A lot of changes on the tax front to bear in mind, but also the complication that a lot of this is not legislated and it depends on so many assumptions from the government's perspective, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, as an individual, you will look at this and act only effectively once you know it is law.
Okay.
The critical thing about it is that certainly for the next 4 years, it's all passed back to you as a tax refund.
Mm-hmm.
So pre-spending it, it's not the greatest idea in the world anyway. You will get it back when you put in your tax return. The ATO is pretty good at turning around tax refunds these days. They're pretty quick usually. So you will get a lump sum that has benefits for many people, but you can't factor it into your daily spending anyway.
Well, I'm sure people will be prompted to file those tax returns all the
some people
all the much sooner.
Some people, maybe not everybody.
Some people,
yeah.
So let's talk about some of the benefits to small businesses, Gemma.
Okay, so the big one here is the instant asset write-off, which was, you may have remembered, was brought in originally as Tony's Tradies. Remember
Tony's Tradies?
Yeah,
absolutely.
We love Tony's Tradies. So this one was targeting Tony's Tradies some years ago, and it was so popular, it's still in existence sometime later. So it will be expanded. It will apply from tonight, from budget night. Oh, gosh, we're past midnight now. So from yesterday, if it's passed, and it will be effective through to 30 June 2020, which happens with this one every year, which is we're going to pass it for the current year and possibly the subsequent year, but no longer. So at the moment, there is a current upfront deduction available for to $20,000, assets costing up to $20,000. There was a proposal to increase it to $25,000. That has not been legislated yet. And it's an immediate upfront deduction that applies to businesses with turnover of less than $10 million. If this measure is passed, it will go up to $30,000 per asset.
Right.
The per asset thing's really important. So you could go and buy 100 assets worth $30,000 each,
mm-hmm.
and claim an immediate upfront deduction for them. It is not an aggregated number. It's an asset. It's per asset. And the turnover is for businesses up to $50 million rather than 10.
So they increase that threshold as well then.
Yeah, so to say this one's been expanded is almost conservative. It has been expanded quite dramatically. There's a much wider group of people who'll be able to use this, or businesses who'll be able to use it. Again, though, must be legislated.
Of course.
And so to say it's effective from budget night, you would not want to rush out. If you had a business with $10 million in turnover and 1 cent, so let's say $11 million in turnover,
yep.
and you wanted to buy a $30,000 asset and write it off immediately, you would wait for this to be passed. You would not rush out and do it and assume that you're good.
Gemma, that sounds like a very, very sensible business decision to make sure it's passed. Okay, so don't go out buying 100 things worth $30,000.
Yeah, well, you know, you're going to get a deduction, but you might not get it up front, right?
Okay, so we've covered a lot of the tax things, personal taxation, small businesses. Let's turn to superannuation. What are the superannuation changes and proposals that investors should know about?
Yeah, so there was a suggestion that there would be some changes to the caps this year. That has not happened. So pretty quiet on the super front, which I think a lot of people will be quite pleased about. One of the biggest complaints about superannuation is it changes too much. That is not a complaint you would bother making this year.
Mm.
So two proposals in the budget, they apply to eligibility to contribute for people of a certain age. So the work test applies for those between age 65 and 75. If you're between 65 and 75, you need to meet a work test in order to be able to get money into super, and that is to work 40 hours in a 30-day period, gainful employment, which means you get paid for it, and it needs to be in the financial year that you make the contribution. So That is going to be removed for people up to age 67, giving you an extra 2 years to contribute if you're not working from 1st of July 2020, if it is passed. Things to remember. Your contributions will still be assessed against the caps, so you don't get a free kick on that front. They still need to be assessed against the caps. The caps are $25,000 a year pre-tax, so deductible, and $100,000 a year for after-tax contributions. You can currently bring forward up to 3 years' worth of post-tax contributions, $300,000 in a single year, if you're less than 65 at the beginning of the financial year when you make the contribution. This will then be available to people who are under age 67 with the new measures. Obvious benefit, super's really tax effective, right? So if you have a lot of money outside super and you would like to pay less tax on that money, you might like to put it in superannuation because you may be able to start a tax-free pension because you're over the age of 60 or over the age of 65, you met the universal condition of release, right? So super's very attractive. The critical thing is you do need to be less than your $1.6 million cap. And if you want to meet the bring forward, there are lower limits on how much you can use. So there's a few different things that you need to sort out. But worth thinking about contributing to super. And if you happen to be in that little age bracket, thought you couldn't contribute, you might well have a window there. The other thing is spouse contributions. So spouse contributions were only available to spouses under the age of 70. They will now be available to spouses under the age of 75 from the 1st of July 2020. The spouse does need to meet the work test. Not a huge range of people meet the work test between the age of 70 and 75, but always possible. And the contributing spouse may be eligible for a tax offset of up to $540, which is already in existence for other spouse contributions. It just means people who are a bit older may be eligible to receive it. It's a bit of a tricky one. There are quite a few eligibility rules. So if you want to use this one, check them out. They're on the ATO website and it needs to be passed and it will be relevant from the 1st of July 2020 also.
Very important to note as well that it is just a proposal at this stage, right?
Yeah, don't do it now.
And the last bucket of changes is Social Security. Right, Gemma, can you talk us through what's happening on that front?
Yeah, so this is probably the quietest budget I have ever seen from a Social Security perspective. If I thought it was quiet for super, it is borderline dead on the Social Security front. For those who are eligible, there is a one-off energy assistance payment. You can spend it on whatever you want. You don't have to spend it on energy. You can spend it on shoes if you like. This is a payment.
Like the cash slash.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So it's a payment of either $75 for a single person or $62.50 each for members of a couple, which will be received by those receiving age pension, disability support pension, carer payment, single parenting payment, and certain Department of Veterans Affairs payments on budget night. So if you were in receipt of one of those payments on budget night, you just get this payment. The Department of Human Services will work it out and they will make the payment into your account sometime after June 2019 or sometime during 2019. It has support from the opposition.
Right.
If they can get it through Parliament, I think they will. But again, don't go spending it until it hits your account.
Okay. And just to stress, this is a one-off payment.
It is a one-off payment. Okay. So, you know, hopefully you don't get any more electricity bills after June.
Okay. So, Gemma, how would you wrap this up? How would you wrap this budget up for people? What should they consider next?
I think the critical thing for people to remember, and it is, we say it every year, wait for the legislation, but this year it is far more important than usual, right? This is a pre-election budget.
Yep.
It is designed not to upset anyone. So there are no tough measures in here. No one needs to be very concerned that suddenly things are going to get a lot worse for them on the tax or the super front, or the Social Security front for that matter. So sit tight, wait for things to be legislated. Because many of these things are payments, they're one-off payments or refunds or so on, you can wait till the money hits your account. You'll know whether you get it or not because it will be sitting right there. So look, use the calculators and so on that are available. Certainly on the budget website, there was a calculator available for people to work out what they might be eligible for. But, you know, you and I spent quite some time just trying to explain these things. They take a while to take effect and they haven't been legislated yet. So consider it a pre-election budget. It's a series of promises.
Yeah. And Gemma, one more crucial point is that investors should be looking out for the opposition's budget and reply speech, right?
Yeah, so this is a series of election promises from the government. There will also be a series of election promises from the opposition, and you may already have a view as to which one you think is more likely to be forming government in a few months' time. So opposition budget in reply speech will be Thursday the 4th of April. We will produce a podcast summary of that, which will be available next week for you. So you can listen to both, have a think about the likely implications for you of either of those things. Just remember that the opposition will also have to work hard to form government. Whichever party gets in, they need to form a majority in both the House of Representatives and the Senate if they want to just pass their legislation as it currently stands. We have obviously seen it's not since 2007 that we had a government that had a majority in both houses. So it's been a long time since either party has been able to just wave their legislation through as they would have wished. They've had to negotiate with the crossbench and make changes where necessary. So all of those things are going to become much more important.
Right.
And you have plenty of time to work out what the implications are for yourself when you look at these things.
No worries. Thanks, Gemma. That's very, very sensible information. Best investors wait to see the budget and reply, compare and contrast the policies, and there still may be a way yet till the proposals are legislated, depending on which party gets in and how they get in, of course. Thank you so much, Gemma. And thank you to our listeners for listening in to this latest episode of Your Wealth. We always hope it has been helpful for you on your journey to creating and investing your wealth. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback. So please email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au for any feedback you might have for future topics. My name is Vishal Teksnani. And one more thing, you can visit our budget hub at www.nabtrade.com.au/budget2019 if you'd like more information about the budget. Thank you for listening in and have a good night or morning in this case.
Thank you for listening to Your Wealth with Gemma Dale. To stay up to date, please subscribe to this podcast series or email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au.
Please note that any advice provided in this podcast has been prepared without taking into account your objectives, financial circumstances, or needs. Before acting, you should consider the appropriateness of the information. To find out more, please visit nab.com.au.